Hey everybody, Zach and Donald here. I had a technical glitch while recording this episode, and my fancy digital recorder didn't work. And so Donald sounds perfect, and you'll hear his beautiful, dulcet voice. But I sound like I'm just on a cell phone. I'm actually just recorded over the Zoom app. So we did the best to make it sound good, but I screwed up. So
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you had one job. You had one job, and you screwed it up. You talked all of that shit about Sarah Chalk and how she messed up, and then you turned right around and did the exact same
thing. I deserve your admonishment, and I'm sorry to everyone listening. It will never happen again. But on this one episode alone, I am not recorded well. It's my fault. We love you all. Thanks for listening. Donald.
And 5, 6, 7, 8.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you got.
Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot.
Wouldn't you like to get away?
Don't. Sometimes you wanna go
where everybody knows your name.
Boom, 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 boom. And they're always glad you came. Boom, boom, boom.
You wanna be where you can see. Troubles are all the same.
Yeah, you do. You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Wow, welcome to Fake Doctors, Real Friends, where everybody knows your name. And here's the only theme song in the world. What's better than that?
Here's some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said here's the stories that you all should know.
How's your isolation going? I miss you very much.
I miss you too. Oh man, it's good. You know, the kids are, we're schooling them. We're trying to run them. I've taken them out on a couple of walks now.
Oh good. I'm glad that you've allowed them to walk around the block.
Yeah. Well, we do a little neighborhood walk. We have our masks. We have our gloves. We take our dog with
Didn't
us.
Didn't you tell me, you know, what's Cardi B? Did you see that thing where she's like, coronavirus?
Coronavirus. Shit is real. Shit is real. When they turned it into the song.
I haven't heard the song yet, but I
love the song.
I don't really know much about Cardi B at all, but that coronavirus thing made me crack up.
And when you get the chance, look up the song. The shit is real. Oh my God. Same way they did like Double Rainbow and Ain't Nobody Got Time for That. And
yeah.
And he's hiding in your windows, snatching your people up.
That was the first one, and that was the best one.
Hide your kids, hide your wives, and hide your husbands, because they raping everybody up out this bitch.
They're hiding in your windows, they snatching your people up.
That was a fucking jam.
That was a jam. You don't have to worry about it. We're looking for you. We gonna find you. We gonna find you. So hide kids, hide your wife, and hide your hood. That shit was dope, dude. I remember that one.
That was a good song.
That was a great one.
Oh, man. You just remind me. I'm going to put that in my workout mix. That was a fucking jam.
That was a jam. It was a, you know what else was a jam? It's fucking distracting. Oh, yeah.
What's that one?
The freaking Batman one. No, the Kristen Bell one.
Oh, that was good. And then they spoofed that with the Kimmy Schmidt theme song. Which was really good too. Do you ever watch Kimmy Schmidt?
I have never watched Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, it's really good. You'll like it. If you're listening to this podcast and you haven't watched Kimmy Schmidt, I'll bet you like it. It's got a lot of, it's sillier than Scrubs, believe it or not, but it's got some very funny, silly stuff in it. Should we talk about the show, Donald?
We should totally talk about the show. This was a good one. I have no recollection of this show whatsoever. I didn't remember this show until we sang Mrs. Jones.
Yeah. Now, did you know Mrs. Jones, the song, or did you?
Absolutely.
No, I didn't.
Really?
But you sang it beautifully.
Thank you. We got a thing going on. It's a real good song. I wonder if Luther, I think Luther might have even covered it.
Sometimes when you sing, I just involuntarily go,
Either Luther or Freddie Jackson, one of them covered that thing.
Who's the most famous Joel's version of
I think the original,
Mrs.
right?
Mrs. Jones. Who's the original? I'm sorry, I don't know.
That's
this.
A really good
I
question.
I did a lot of research.
Is it Billy Paul that does Me and Mrs. Jones? I think so. Yeah, Billy Paul looks like the original. And then I feel like Luther did do a cover of this. Let's see.
We got a thing going now.
Freddie Jackson did do the cover.
Freddie Jackson. Mm-hmm. I knew it was one of them.
Well, you sang it beautifully, Donald.
Thank you very much. I remember being so excited that I was going to have the opportunity to sing on the show. I sang a lot as a kid, like in like the high school choir and the junior high school choir.
I wish you would sing more because you have such a beautiful voice.
I would love to sing more. I don't think I have the voice that is the type of voice that people want to hear like all the time.
Would you ever do a Broadway musical?
Of course I would do a Broadway musical. We all have dreams of winning an EGOT one day, of getting the EGOT.
Right. So, but I'm absolutely not saying for EGOT reasons. I'm saying, would you think that would bring you joy to do a Broadway musical? Bill and I got approached to do a version of Fletch after Scrubs.
That's so scary, dude.
I know. And the idea of doing it with Bill, who's like the biggest Fletch fan in the world, was interesting. But then, you know, I mean, that's impossible. You can't follow
Chevy Chase. You can't do it.
But I'm just saying, okay, so back to the musical. I think that it would be, I would just love to see you. You have such a good voice. And I did a musical on Broadway and I had so much fun doing it. Granted, I was happy when it was over because when you go see a play, particularly in this case, I'm just talking about musicals, you always have to come out and go, I cannot believe these people are doing this 8 times a week. And I was just so exhausted. It was the most tired I've ever been in my life. And no matter what happens, you're going on that day. Like, you know, it's one thing to do a play for 3 months, 4 months, but, and.
Wow, that's a half a year, dude. That's a half a year.
We were supposed to do it longer, but.
Wow. I don't know. I go back and forth with the whole, musical theater, musical genre. When it's done right, it's really good. But when it's done wrong, that's one of those things where it's like, dude, and it was a musical. You know what I mean?
I know. But when it works, it's so good. When it works, we love it.
Oh, when it works, it's the best thing in the world.
Yeah, but when you're in a bad one, you're like, oh God, make it
right,
stop.
Right. You know what I mean? How do we get out of this?
So this, My Bad, was written by Gabby Allen.
Wow.
And and directed by Mark Buckland, who directed the 104. Very talented guy. There's a lot of cool shots in this episode. I can always tell, even if I don't look at the who the director is by the cinematography, who was adding a little extra something. And Mark Buckland was always one of those guys.
Right. I just remember playing ping pong with Mark Buckland and how good of a ping pong player he is.
Yes. Did you win? Because you're pretty good.
No, I did not win. I got waxed. And he started off making it look like it was going to be the easiest game in the world. And I'd have a shot. And all I'd have to do was just keep the ball on the table. But then after, I remember him looking at me and saying to me, okay, so I'm going to turn it up a little bit now. And then all of a sudden, he became like freaking Federer or freaking Nadal or something like that. But on a ping pong table. Djokovic, right? All of a sudden, out of nowhere, this dude's there's top spin. He's slicing.
You're good at spin. I remember you were very into trick spin because I played with you a couple times and I just couldn't even hit the ball back because you put so much spin on it that no matter what I did, it was just going everywhere.
Right. This dude had the type of ping pong game where you put the spin on it and he knew the counter spin.
Oh, so the counter
it was
spin.
The worst.
You got to know the counter spin. You got to know the counter spin. I remember playing Bill in ping pong and I'm just like, you know, this was new in the relationship and I'm like, just be playing a little pong with my boss, like just a little bonding. And then he stopped at a point. He goes, would you mind if I played you left-handed? Because this isn't any fun for me. It was so horrible.
Did they ever play each other? Did you ever witness Buckland and Bill play?
I don't know. But I mean, I would love to get good at ping pong. I don't think it really correlates with tennis that much.
Oh, it's absolutely the same, dude.
Really?
Your tennis game probably has helped your ping pong game.
Okay, I just haven't had to play ping pong in a while, but my tennis game is much better.
Absolutely. I can't wait for us to play again, to be honest with you. I do miss that.
I know. I was thinking we could get a video game and play online against each other.
If you don't play video games, you'd get your ass kicked.
There's no real good video game tennis, is there?
There's a lot of good video game tennis.
Why are you yelling at me? Which one? PSP?
Is that PlayStation? That's PlayStation.
Which one? Portable. Which system has a good tennis? Because I would like
Xbox.
To almost buy...
Just get Xbox. Okay. Xbox or PlayStation 4.
Oh, Dan is saying that
the top spin series.
Top spin is good.
And then there's
on Xbox,
Mario Tennis.
And Mario. I don't want Mario. I like my player to look like a real person. I don't want a little avatar running around like it's Mario versus Luigi.
Right. So you have a little bit of land or property. there's this thing where you take the ball is connected to like a rope. And remember that thing that, what's the wooden paddle with the rubber ball that you would hit?
It's called the wooden paddle with the rubber ball.
What is that called? Where you, and it's connected and you hit it and it's pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Everyone knows what you're
talking about. There's a tennis version of that where you can practice strokes where you hit it far and it goes far out, bounces, and then comes back to you at the same speed. Yeah. You might like that. I don't know what that's called, but that's something.
Can you send me a link to that? Because I need that for my backyard. Absolutely. I'm worried I'm forgetting everything.
All you got to do is say tennis near your phone. I'm sure it'll pick it up and an ad will pop up.
I find myself just doing my stroke with a pantomime. Turn, da, ba, catch.
Nice.
Repeating my mantra.
Nice. You're getting really good at tennis. All right, let's get into it. We're 22 minutes in.
Well, you're the one who's rambling about a paddle and a ball.
Paddle ball. That's what it is. Some shit like that, right?
All right, listen. Sam Lloyd opens the episode. Let's talk about how great Sam Lloyd is.
Sam Lloyd's amazing. Not only is he a funny comedic actor, but he is an amazing singer. You want to talk about a really good singer.
Yes, that a cappella group that's featured in later episodes is really Sam's band.
And the Blanks.
Yeah, and they, right after Scrubs, they were so popular, they were really touring and doing gigs.
Yeah.
They're so talented, those guys.
Oh man, they do a cover of John Williams' Superman theme song, and it is amazing. If you ever get the opportunity,
you can find that if you're a fan of the Blanks a cappella band. You can find. I think they probably even have an album or something. But you can find them doing.
Oh yeah, they're all over iTunes, and
they're amazing. And he's Christopher Lloyd's nephew.
Yes,
I know. I mentioned that in another episode, maybe.
Yeah, you did.
A little trivia.
Yes,
and I got to direct Christopher Lloyd in Going in Style.
You also were in a play with Christopher Lloyd.
I was in Twelfth Night in Central Park at the Delacorte Theater with Christopher Lloyd. And when I went to direct him in Going in Style, I don't think he had any recollection of who I was.
Well,
No, he's an amazing man and I love him, but he is a little bit like Doc. He's a little like, oh.
Well, he's worked so much, though. You got to give the man a break.
I know I don't need to give him a break. He's a sweetheart, but I'm saying when you meet him, he is a little like Doc. He's a little like, really? Oh, Zach.
One of my favorite Christopher Lloyd stories is the story of when he found out that Eric Stoltz wasn't doing Marty McFly anymore and that Michael J. Fox was doing it. Uh-huh. And, you know, Eric Stoltz, while it's in this famous book that Justin Long gave me to read, right? And it's like the making of Back to the Futures 1, 2, and 3. And apparently Eric Stoltz told everybody on set, don't call me Eric, call me Marty.
That can't be true.
This is in the book. It's a very...
Whenever I hear these stories about people saying no eye contact and all these horrible behavior, I just can never believe it's true.
Okay, well, this is
everyone
in the story.
Everyone wanted to call him Marty. Go ahead.
This is in the book. You know, so everybody does it. He finally gets fired. And they bring Michael J. Fox in, but before they bring Michael J. Fox in, they tell Christopher Lloyd, they're like, listen, so we had to fire Eric, and we're bringing someone in. He's like, well, who's Eric? And they go to the guy that was playing Marty. He goes, I thought his name was Marty. And they go, no. He's like, okay. And then and then they bring Michael J. Fox in, and they said the chemistry was like, on point, and the rest is history. And now we have, you know, Back to the Future.
He's amazing. And I had a lot of fun working with him on Going in Style.
You've worked with both of them. You've worked with Michael J. Fox, and you've worked with Christopher Lloyd. You've worked with Doc and Marty.
Yes, I know Doc and Marty.
Yeah.
We should try and get Michael J. Fox on, huh, when we get to him.
That would be kind of cool.
Maybe Bill can pull his Bill strings.
That would be great.
At 45 seconds in, there's the most cartoonish drive-by noise. And I know Bill kept saying like, oh, and this is when I was starting to phase out the sound effects. But I was like, not yet, bro, because this episode has so many sound effects in it.
There are a couple of those in here. You behind the door when you look away and you come back and then you look back in again. That was hilarious.
There's a funny thing that happens with, you know, they would always try and time it so that if there was a holiday like Halloween, it was airing around Halloween, and we'd have like our Halloween episode. And,
right.
And it's funny though, because at 51 seconds in, you don't really know that yet, but there's two nurses that walk by in the background with ears on. And I was like, my brain went to, oh, this must be the Halloween episode. But if you didn't have the context yet, it's just so weird. Like, why are those background people wearing wacky Halloween ears?
Speaking of background, this is the first time we see Snoop Dogg intern.
I spotted him too. I spotted him too, buddy.
Manly Henry.
Wait,
big shout out.
I wrote it down because it was a big moment.
Well, he's walking in the hallway. He's in the surprise room.
I saw him in the surprise room.
Well, he's walking in the hallway way before that.
But for those of you who don't know, what would happen was that these background performers were the same people every day. I mean, lots would rotate, but a lot of them would be the same folks every day. We got to know them and became friendly with them all. And some of them Bill would pick out because he thought, or one of the other writers would pick out and go, oh my God, he's got an interesting look, or he's funny, or he can actually deliver a line. And they would get lines occasionally. Well, someone thought that Manly Henry looked like a Snoop Dogg. Do you think that?
Yeah, they kind of do. They kind of do favor each other. If you look at them, I mean, he's tall, he's black. Got to look like Snoop.
It's got to be more than that, I would think. Anyway, so Manly Henry, who is Snoop Dogg attending, resident, and everything else, makes
he started off Snoop Dogg intern, and then he became Snoop Dogg resident.
Yeah.
And then he became Snoop Dogg attending. He's a big fan of our podcast, man.
He slid into my DMs.
He promotes our podcast on his Instagram page and stuff like that. He's a sweetheart, man.
He's a very sweet guy. And anyway, so this is a shout out for Manly Henry for your first appearance. I didn't see him walk by, but I saw him in the surprise fantasy. He's in the background there.
Shout out Snoop Dogg intern.
I have no memory of doing that tightrope walk gag. This is one of the first fantasies I have absolutely no memory of.
I have no memory of the episode, dude.
You have no memory of
the whole episode. Of the whole episode. Like, and you, so recently when watching the show, there have been little things that have come on that I was like, oh, wow. You know what? I take it back. I do remember the Mrs. Jones part. But usually I'm like, okay, in the first round, when I said, I didn't remember the ass pin episode until I said, you know, I think I'm going to get her a nice pin. And I was like, holy shit, it's the ass pin episode. Right, you know what I mean? There's always something.
You remembered the Mrs. Jones.
Right.
And I'm sure you remembered one of the greatest guest stars of all time, Jimmy Walker.
Absolutely. And a very lovely line reading, by the way, also by him. I think he totally made the joke better. Like, I wrote that down. I wrote down, wow, what an interesting way to say that line. And Jimmy Walker.
Yeah. We should stop for 1 second. For those of you who don't know, because some of you are young, Jimmy Walker, who's in my fantasy around 16, 11 seconds, was the star of a very popular show when we were growing up called Good Times.
Yes, and one of the most realistic shows about project life on television as an African-American male growing up. I mean, the show was called Good Times, but they didn't have the most good times on that show, man. Bad things would happen. Like the dad died, like all types of shit happened.
And
on
for
that
white kids in the suburbs, it was like myself, it was educational because not only was it hilarious, but I watched shows like that and What's Happening, and it got to show a different side of the way people lived. I mean, I didn't know anything about the projects when I was a little kid growing up in the Jersey suburbs.
Right.
And you fell in love with this family in Good Times and you just followed them through and like a lot of comedies I like, they would also be heartbreaking, right?
Right.
They would keep it like they would go deep into.
Oh my gosh, they went deep into drama on Good Times. Janet Jackson was on Good Times. You know what I mean? She played Penny. Her mom was abusive.
Yeah.
And like burned her with an iron type shit abusive. You know what I mean? Like for real, for real.
Right.
Her mom was so bad that they took her away from her mom and she lived with Aloma, who was the next door neighbor.
Oh, right. Right.
You don't remember any of this.
I don't remember that episode, but I do remember being young and being like totally in love with that show. Wait, and What's Happening.
Am I right about that? It's Aloma, right? I'm not tripping.
Joelle's Googling.
Joelle. Sister.
And what about What's Happening? We also had...
It's Thelma. Watch it be Thelma or some shit like that.
We also had the legendary Fred Berry.
Rerun. Fred Rerun Berry came on. He came on the show right before he passed away, actually. He passed away like a couple of months after... He was on the show, I believe. But I remember we all got dressed up like Fred Rerun Berry and he taught us how to do the dance and everything like that.
Yep.
That was a lot of fun.
I remember that Jimmy Walker wouldn't say dynamite unless you paid him the next level money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember that being a thing. When they told us Jimmy Walker was coming on, everyone's like, oh my God. Oh, again, sorry. For those of you who don't know, he had a catchphrase on Good Times, and he'd go, "Dynamite!" Right, Donald?
Dynamite! He was Kid Dynamite. That was his, that's who he was. He was Kid Dynamite. Right. JJ, so like James
every,
Jr.
Like every good sitcom star, he had a catchphrase, and Dynamite was his. And but he wouldn't say it on Scrubs unless you like up the rate. Understandably, like
I get it.
Pay him, you know?
That's like asking Gary Coleman to say, "What you talking about, Willis?"
Well, I imagine if Gary Coleman come on Scrubs, he would have said, "Hey, I'll come on for this fee, but if you want to, what you talking about, Willis, it's this amount of money."
Right, absolutely.
There's a premium for what you talking about, Willis.
Absolutely, I bet. I
gotta get paid.
I put the money on it.
Yeah. Wait, did Gary Coleman pass too? Right.
Yeah, he did.
Wow, all three of these. Did Jimmy Walker die?
No, Jimmy Walker's still alive, but.
Well, it's interesting that Fred Berry and Gary Coleman.
Yeah, a lot of our favorite sitcom stars when we were young passed away from either drugs or, you know, AIDS.
The different Strokes cast has just been the most tragic.
Well, I mean, Todd Bridges is my doppelganger still living. Todd Bridges is still alive.
Todd's still alive, but a lot of the others have had trouble.
Todd's had a pretty good career after different Strokes. He went on to, I mean, he's been a very good actor in the projects that he's been in.
Different Strokes so much. That was my favorite show.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but everything happened to that family, man. Everything happened to that family. How many times does Arnold get kidnapped? He's been child molested. He's all types of things. He wasn't molested.
Dudley was molested. Dudley was molested by the bike shop owner.
Right, but not only was Dudley molested, his dad smoked a lot of cigarettes and had, you know, there was the cigarette episode. Like everything happened to that family. And well, then when nothing else can...
Everything happens to everybody. Look at the show ER. Like, imagine all the stuff that's happened in that ER. Like,
but I'm just saying, after everything happened to every character on that show, they went out and got Sam. So everything could happen to Sam. And Sam was an anomaly. He was a freaking country singing, break dancing. I could break dance and play the guitar, Mr. D. He was all of that shit.
That is, when they brought Sam on, it was the end. It was the end.
That's another show that went from a network that switched networks.
They were trying to get the ratings back up because Gary was such a cute kid. And then when he got older, they were like, "We need a new cute kid. Bring in the red-haired country singing kid."
The country break dancer.
I don't have any memories of Sam episodes.
Really?
I think I tuned out.
Oh, there it is.
I was loyal to Gary. I was like, should we get back to the show, Donald?
Absolutely.
Krista Miller.
Holy cow.
That's man.
Let's begin with holy cow.
How?
She looks so hot.
She is so hot.
Let me tell you something about Krista Miller. She was the very first cover of Maxim.
Was it Maxim or Stuff?
I'm looking at a still of her. She 232. She looks obviously. Bill was like, not only is Krista a knockout, but you know the boss was like, "All right, I want the filter, I want the backlight, I want the slow motion, I want the fan."
That's the first time.
I want the dolly push in. Yeah, we did that a bunch on Scrubs, but like she got the first moment of like the hot chick walking in.
Absolutely. I also noticed that her character talks exactly the way Cox talked.
Yeah.
And if you go back and watch it, that storyline tracks very well. Like if when the reveal happens, if you go back and look at how she talked to JD before the reveal of them being ex-husband and wife, it's like JD's talking to a female version of Cox in the scene.
Yeah, because she's like just got rattling off these sort of wise ass marks.
Absolutely, and it's
very quick-witted. And it's funny. I think she's inspired by Krista herself, if I could be so bold, because you know, Krista's a tough gal.
It ain't nothing soft about. I mean, there's a lot of soft about Krista once you get to know her, but when you first meet her, yeah, she's a very
she can be a bit scary.
Yeah, she got no problem, and she has no problem letting you know, back the fuck off, dude.
Yeah, and she and Bill can both be snarky. And I used to say, "Did you guys meet at meme camp?" Because they can. But so here I am. I got this brand new job, and I'm so excited. And I read the script, and it says that I'm going to make out with my boss's wife.
Did you know that it was going to be his wife? Before.
Yeah, well, I had met Krista through Bill at the table read and stuff, and I knew who she was, obviously, from Drew Carey, and Drew Carey was still going.
Right? Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely
and,
it was.
And that show is very popular, and of course, she was in magazines, and she's so pretty, and so I, of course, knew who she was. but I had barely met her, and I was totally intimidated and scared by her. I remember us kissing. It's not. It's funny rewatching the show now, and it's not in the show. But I remember that we filmed us making out, and I was so nervous. I remember being like, "This is the weirdest job in the world. I'm making out with my really pretty boss's wife for him."
Yeah.
And
how do you think he felt about it? That's the question.
I think he liked it a bit. I think he's a little kinky.
He's a little
like
kinky
that.
Like I mean, that, right?
I'm going to be so bold to say the man's a little kinky.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of kinkiness
in him. I think
he
might like it. I mean, we can insert a Joelle Bill Lawrence voice note here. We can ask him, did you like it a little bit?
No, Zach and Donald, I don't enjoy forcing actors to make out with my wife on television. I enjoy that in our personal lives, but just not on TV. It's part of the gig, though, right? Because I enjoyed watching how uncomfortable Zach was that first year having to kiss my wife. But it was all acting, right, Zach? It's acting.
Because he brought her back and then made Johnny do the same thing.
Yeah. Well, Johnny made her in this episode, too. Yeah, I think he was, there's some dudes who are into that. I think Bill might like a smidgen of that. I don't know that I would probably be jealous, but
yeah, I don't share. I don't like to share.
Right.
I wonder if my wife says some of the craziest things when I have kissing scenes with people. Like I remember my wife being like one time I kissed a girl on television and she was like, well, that wasn't believable. I was like, what?
The trick with a TV/movie kiss is not, it's just to open your mouth, but not be jamming your tongue in anyone's mouth.
Right. And for a lot of people, jamming your tongue in someone's mouth isn't necessarily the way they like to kiss. So some people in real life kiss like they kiss on television, where it's just an open mouth kiss. And
but have you found with your movie TV kisses that the onus is on you, I think, as a man to be like, all right, let the female set what this is going to be. That's how I think about it. And then sometimes you're like, whoa, you're really going all out. There's a tongue in my mouth.
Right. Somebody told me that they even have like mediators that come in, like people that stage the
scene. Now, yeah, that's a new thing now, which is definitely good because no one ever knew what to do. And now, of course, in this age, they have people come in and go, okay, let's all talk about what this is going to be and let's choreograph it and blah, blah.
Right.
But when we were doing this, it was just, I would have these different guest stars. I don't know. I just remember being embarrassed as I watched some like with Amy Smart that we were just like full on going at it. And I was like, this is a sitcom. Like we shouldn't be seeing our tongues like from the side of our kiss. It's a little much. I was very giddy about Amy Smart. I must confess.
Yes. You were very giddy about Amy
Smart. I had such a crush on her. And if there were tongues flying, I wanted to be a part of it. I had such a crush on Amy Smart.
Yeah, you did. That was oh my gosh. I remember, listen, you had
I don't think I've ever been so happy at work as that. That was pretty.
Yeah, because your crush for Amy Smart came well before she was ever on the show.
Yeah, my crush for Amy Smart went back to Todd Phillips' movie.
Road Trip. Yeah, Breckenmeyer.
Todd Phillips, who's now an Oscar-nominated director for Joker.
For the Joker. Who else is in that? Tom Green's in that.
I don't even remember the movie. I just remember being like, oh, wow, that woman is so pretty to me.
Yeah. Well, she was on the show.
She was on the show.
Yes. And she was very funny.
Yeah.
She was very funny. All right.
But not in this episode, buddy.
No,
she wasn't in this episode.
Sorry, Krista. We're back to how hot you are. We digressed and started talking about Amy Smart. We got to have Krista on, by the way.
I agree with you 100%. I think we should have Johnny and Judy.
Of course. Johnny, Judy, and Krista. We got to schedule them.
Try and get Neil and Ken. It'd be really interesting.
Let's go through all the main stars and then start being some directors and writers. And
well, let's ask the fans also who they want to see. Just drop us a line on
tell us on the social media who you want to hear.
Yeah, who you want to hear.
We want to hear, guys.
We'll reach out to anyone.
Do you remember the Magic Garden when we were growing up?
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know if you had this, if you're listening where you grew up, but was it like a local East Coast show?
I feel like it was like a PBS show, but I'm sure there were so many people who watched
it. It might have been local. I don't know, because we grew up, half hour from each other, me in Jersey and him in Manhattan. But anyway, there was this local show. And I remember at the end, they would go and she'd have like a magic glass and she'd look into the camera and she'd go, N-I-C, Jim. and John and Tony. Do you remember? And she would just list off like
bunch of names. Yeah.
A bunch of names. And of course, now as an adult, I'm going, oh, the woman was just listing off the most popular names. So the maximum amount of kids go, oh my God, she sees me. She sees
right,
me.
Right.
She never said Ack. Did she ever say Donald?
No. Well, I didn't go as Donald as a kid. I was Adeo Shun.
So she probably didn't say
Adeo Shun. Never said my
name. That would have been funny. She's like, I see Tom and John and Adeo Shun. I love that show. I would love to. I got a YouTube, the Magic Garden, but I remember just being tripped out. So the reason I thought of that random thought was like, we could do that with us where we go, hey, hey, John, Tom, Jennifer, Jessica, we'd like to hear what you think.
And then you got to say some like different names. Oh, like
then now you go.
Moesha, Fuquan, Abertha, Tariq, Malik, Tariq. Because some people aren't Tariq. Some people are Tariq.
Some people are Anfernee.
We found that out. Yes, there is an Anfernee. Yes.
Shalom.
I don't know anybody named Shalom.
I do.
But that's like, do you know any white people with the last name Washington?
No. Do you know any
Do you know any Anfernees? White people with the last name Jefferson?
Thomas.
Yeah, that's saying something, isn't it?
Listen, let's talk about you and me, Mrs. Jones. So you're in the room and you're singing the song. It was really sexy and romantic. I felt like you and Judy were really gonna make out for real there.
I was saying that's I was gonna say that about the show. Carla and Turk are so cute.
Yeah,
they're so cute. You really root for them. And I find myself when I watch it, I find myself, you know, looking back at it. Obviously, I thought Judy Reyes is and still is an amazing actress, but I looked at her like my sister, you know what I mean? And so when we did the scenes, it was, you know, me doing scenes with my sister. Now that I look back at it though, it's like, wow, we had such good chemistry. Cause
you did, but I don't think it was like your sister, dude. You were, oh, I totally, to I,
Judy was the type of person. Listen,
you were attracted to her. I can vouch
when
for
I look
fact.
Well, yeah, when we did scenes and stuff like that. But when I look back
Nobody.
At it, let me finish. When I look back at it now, I'm like, yo, dude, I wonder why I never looked at Judy. And I know why, because, you know, there's a saying, never shit where you eat. You know what I mean? That's the honest.
You didn't allow yourself to fall in love.
Right, or to feel that type of way. But when I look back at it now, I'm like, holy cow! Judy was there this whole time?
And she looks...
Oh my... Well, not only that, she's just such an amazing actress, you know what I mean? And she played Carla so, you know, so well, you know? She spoke for a lot of people, you know, Judy did. For nurses, for at the time, there weren't a lot of Latinas on television, you know what I mean? It was like J-Lo, and that's it, dude. You know what I mean? 20 years ago. And Judy was the other one, you know what I mean? And so... You know, big props to Judy Reyes, man.
I also wanted to say that it's interesting in this episode that both women are really in charge of their sexuality and their power in the bedroom. I just noticed that there's a parallel in this. Both Carla and Jordan are calling the shots in these sexual encounters.
But that's how it should be. You know what I mean? If we're in this together, we're all doing this. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it could be whoever a couple wants it, but I'm just saying, I noticed in this episode that there's kind of these parallel stories of strong women in the bedroom. And Jordan says to JD, you had absolutely nothing to do with why I slept with you. I thought that was really funny.
I thought that was hilarious when she's giving you the whole speech. She's like, you know, you meet someone and you hope that it goes some, I'm sorry, that is hard to
keep. She starts laughing.
Got a date.
I laughed out loud at 4:51 when you said, tell her to put the cane down.
Yeah, tell her to put the cane down. I had no recollection of that.
You don't remember that scene? That was
I don't remember that at all. That shit had me rolling.
You don't remember that woman at all?
No, I know that the character passes away later on. I do know that.
Spoilers.
I mean, if you haven't watched the show.
No, I think if you've listened to this, you watched the show.
Right.
But I laughed out. That was funny. Tell her to put the cane down.
Tell her to put the cane down. Also, Elliot sees the janitor and the whole angry.
Yep.
I told you that little freaking the janitor is a figment of JD's imagination. It doesn't track. I'm telling you,
Donald. I know. And I'm sad about it because it was a beautiful lore. And I don't want to poke holes in the lore that I feel like Bill himself has propagated. But he doesn't remember all these little moments. And you know what? Sarah told everyone, we've all been saying this, season one, he didn't talk to anyone, and he doesn't really, but he does interact with Sarah. I wrote it down, Donald.
Absolutely, because what she does triggers him to do what he does to you.
Yep. And so I'm sorry, I'm sad to say, I feel like we're like detectives, and we're uncovering the truth.
Absolutely.
That little bit of Scrubs lore is bullshit.
Well, not only that, they also set up something that goes away for a while, but Elliot's relationship with her mom also. Elliot talking to her mom on the telephone,
right,
and her mom talking about how short hair gives her pig face.
Yes.
So, but later on, we bring in Marky Post.
Yes, to play, from Night Court.
Absolutely, to play Elliot's mom.
Right.
And the storyline still works from that phone call, but they set it up in this phone call. I don't know how many episodes later or it might even been seasons when Marky comes on.
Right. I forgot when that happens, when all our parents come. But right. Yeah, so you're getting backstory on Sarah. And also, there's a big thing in this episode about therapy. I mean, I was watching you give like a Turk advocates for therapy in this episode. And I thought, I was watching this going, that's a good public service announcement for people to hear, you know, from a character they like. This is 2001. And I think there's, depending on how you grew up, I happen to grow up with, my mom was a psychologist, my stepfather was a psychologist. I had therapy all over my life, but depending on how you grew up, there can be stigma around it. And I was happy to see that Bill and the writers wrote in this sort of, you know, advocacy for seeing a therapist.
Oh, I totally agree. It's really interesting how, you know, it's 20 years ago, but we're still talking about issues that are really important today. And I know we bring this up a lot, but I'm really proud of that. You know, I'm really proud to be on a show that did that. Even every time I see something like that, I'm like, holy cow, we were talking about that well before. Like, even the talking about The Rock and how The Rock was a movie star, I'm proud that we knew that back then.
We called it.
You know what I mean? I am so happy that we knew what the heck we were talking about. The Simpsons do it a lot.
Oh, yeah. They always forecast
things. Holy cow.
Well, anyway, you know, Donald and I both believe in therapy. So if you're, we're here to say,
I believe in therapy.
We're here to say that if you're having trouble and you need help, you should please seek a therapist out, because there's been plenty of times in my life where that has been very, very helpful to me, to get me through some rocky times. And as a son of a two therapists, psychologists, I have to repeat that it's been very helpful for me at times.
And it seems to really work for Elliot, who's having a really hard time,
right,
in this episode.
That was funny. That guy did a good job. The whole, you gotta hear the guy who's got, can't talk, and he's got Elliot sitting there asking for free therapy.
That joke is hilarious. Well, how does it make you feel? She goes, I don't know. It makes me feel. And then he puts up the sign, pain pills.
Oh, no.
She goes, no, I don't need to do pain pills. He's like, for me.
That was funny. I laughed at 651 when Ken goes, heck, maybe you'll even get to meet Charo.
Right. But that's such a smart joke.
You have to explain to the young folks that Charo was often on the show Love Boat, and he's making we got a lot of 80s TV references in this episode.
Absolutely. But it's such a smart joke also, because, you know, that's one of those shows where the doctor on the ship cares about everyone on the boat and wants to make sure that everyone on the boat lives, right? And or whatever it is healthy, et cetera.
Right.
And Cox got suspended for breaking the rules and caring about his patient. And so the joke goes even deeper when he says to him, you know, maybe you should get on a cruise ship. I don't know. They could call you Doc, and you guys could sail in from wherever to wherever, and you could maybe even meet Charo.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense to the character itself, and the joke is funny also. You know what I mean? Like, it all blends
together.
Didn't we
end up having a lot of Love Boat Docs on the
show
at some point?
We did have some Love. We had Doc. We had Isaac. We had, I know they were on the show, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We also had Saint Elsewhere. We had some of the,
oh yeah, actors. We did a whole episode with
Ed Begley. We had a bunch of people. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. See, this is our memory. So screwed, Scrubs fans. So sorry if you're laughing that we don't remember this, but we vaguely do.
Yeah.
So at 7:25, Ken walks off saying "Row Your Boat." And for those of you who don't know, there's all these songs that are public domain, which means you don't have to pay to use them. Because on a TV show, if it's not a public domain song, you have to license it, and they can obviously be. Some of these songs we had on Scrubs can be super expensive. But there's like this list of songs that we always had, the script supervisor always had, and we just wanted to spontaneously have someone sing something. You can like look at the free song list, and Row Row Your Boat is one of them. I was looking at some of the others. For a very long time, Happy Birthday was not public domain, and it was expensive.
Yeah, I think it was a crap ton of money.
It's since changed, but
that's the reason why Stevie Wonder wrote the song "Happy Birthday to Ya, Happy Birthday to Ya, Happy Birthday." That originally, it was for Martin Luther King, and I believe he wanted to just sing the original Happy Birthday song, but it cost so much money that Stevie was like, "Yo, you know what? I'll create another song," and he created "Happy Birthday to Ya, Happy."
I have no idea if that's true, but I like
it. I don't know either, but it sounds true.
But listen, if you're ever watching TV shows or movies now, and you'll see a lot of times when they bring the cake in, they'll avoid singing Happy Birthday. They'll sing like, "For he's a jolly good fellow," or they'll do something that's so not natural to what most do in the real world. It's because they're avoiding having to pay for Happy Birthday. Although that's since changed. I think now it's become public domain. Anyway, you guys can Google public domain songs and learn which ones are...
Okay, so but check this out. Did you realize that there are people in the bed in the title sequence? "I can't do this all on my own."
Yeah.
There are like, there are people in the beds.
Yeah.
And you see their faces.
You do.
For Scrubs fans out there, I would love if you were able to find who those people were in the bed in the title sequence. Because they did not, they had 9 years on television, and I don't think anyone's ever asked, who are those people in the bed?
Can you really make out any faces? I'm scrolling through it slow right now.
You can make out faces, yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. Donald has a request. If you're in the title sequence in bed, slide in.
If you're into Scrubs trivia, I have the ultimate trivia for you.
Okay.
Who are the patients in the bed in the title sequence?
Well, more trivia, I have some.
Go for yours.
This is the first episode where we learn that Cox's name is Perry.
Nice.
There's another episode that's called My Bad 2, spelled T-O-O.
Like, look who's talking to.
Yes. The footage at the end of Jordan's wedding is actually from Bill and Krista's wedding. Did you know that?
I figured that out. That was pretty easy to figure out.
She looks so pretty, huh?
Also, that's, I guess, he's not watching it on television. So is this a fantasy that Dr. Cox has early on?
It must be a flashback. That's interesting. That's an interesting point. Did other people have flashbacks besides JD?
It looks like Perry did.
Perry Cox did. I like there's a homage to The Graduate at 10 minutes and 1 second when I drop my pants and shoot through my legs to see Jordan in her leather dress. A Mark Buckland homage to The Graduate.
Nice.
And I look very skinny when I'm lying on the bed. I was happy about that.
It's really interesting when you're 26 years old. When you're 26 years old,
it's easier to get abs.
Well, I look back at all of this stuff. I was like, I remember dieting and going to the gym all the time and trying to, you know what I mean? I'd kill to weigh that much again.
It's so hard you can work so much harder to so much less effect in your 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love handles fucking left and right.
Love handles? Shit. I eat a cookie. That shit stays on my ass.
I look like a melted candle. I'm trying, though. Do you find when you're doing scenes and you're in your boxers that there's a fine line between not wanting to look like there's nothing going on, but also not wanting to overdo it? You don't have that problem. I looked at your face and I knew your answer was going to be, I don't have that problem.
I've never thought about... Are you talking about fluffing? Is that what you're talking about?
Not fluffing. I don't mean to getting any blood going. I just mean, like, when I was looking at myself lying in the bed there, I think I remember being like, okay, well, I don't obviously don't want any, like, thing to show, but I also don't want to look like I'm, like, a Ken doll. So, like, is there a happy medium where I can...
You're looking at me.
Hold on.
I just want to know what you figured out.
Joelle's cracking up right now. I'm so sad that you're like, I have no idea.
No, I just want to know what you figured out. What did you decide to do?
I think I gave everything...
In said moment.
I think I gave everything a little ruffle.
I'm done.
I just give everything a little ruffle.
On that note,
let's cool down and take a commercial break.
Let's do it. And we are back, and we're back with a caller.
Joelle, introduce us to today's callers. It looks like there's two callers, Joelle. Give it to us.
Susan, hi.
Susan brought a friend.
It's like on Millionaire. You can bring a friend. Call a friend.
I had to bring my husband, sorry.
Oh, I love it.
Are That's you wonderful. Irish?
Scottish.
Oh, damn it. I always get that wrong. I'm so sorry. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi. I've been drinking all day, so sorry.
Oh, no, we love it. Hey, so is Donald, and it's noon listen. Here.
Hey. We are Scottish.
It's so nighttime here, so it's fine.
Oh, I love your accent. I'm such a fan of that accent. Okay, go ahead with the question for the legendary Donald Faison, or me, whichever one.
Yeah, for both of you. You've mentioned in podcast two that you didn't get to steal Rowdy or take Rowdy, but what did you take from the set? You must have taken something.
I got something I can grab for you. Donald, did you take anything?
I did, but I don't know where they are anymore. I did get quite a few scrubs. The green ones.
And the shoes and as well?
I do have some sneakers from the show as well, yes.
Not the bowling shoes.
I don't have the bowling shoes, unfortunately.
You see these antlers? These are from the pilot when I was a deer in headlights.
So these are actually the scrubs. Oh, I love
it. Donald's in his closet, so he just reached down to the ground. And pulled them.
These shoes right here are the actual Scrubs wrap party shoes that they gave us.
Those are limited edition, and you wore them? Mine are mint.
Oh my gosh, these were worn. I did
really
wear them.
Your own swag. It's a little lame.
Well, it's fuck you, man. First of all, it says Scrubs in the back, and it's the 100th episode, and I did rock them.
I never, like, when you're an actor on the show, you can't normally wear like the swag. You look a little douchey wearing like the Scrubs sneakers.
Oh man, I still have pants from Scrubs that I wore a pair of pants for a real long time. Like Susan, to answer your question, most of the stuff that I got from Scrubs was wardrobe, because it was easy. It's easy to steal wardrobe. Quiet is kept when you're acting in a project on the last day when you know you're never going to see anybody again. You can get away with some things if the wardrobe department is cool with it. And it most likely isn't going to be the stuff that you wore in the show, but it's stuff that they'll probably have to return or something like that, and they'll take the hit. I stole a lot of... I didn't steal, actually. I took and was allowed to take. I liberated quite a few outfits of Chris Turk's, and most of them were Scrubs.
Which are hanging behind him, Susan. Do you have another question?
In my head.
First of all, you guys are so cute. Holy cow.
You guys are so cute. How's your isolation going over there in Scotland?
This is our fourth week. It's tough, but the weather's good at the moment, so that's helpful.
Right on.
And this helps.
Yes, yeah. That's happened to us in Los Angeles as well. The sun, it's been raining nonstop, and the sun finally came out. So I think it's a little bit easier to smile when the sun's out.
I think so, yeah. Uh-huh. Just be glad when it's all over.
Yes.
Do you guys ever get drunk and relive old sketches like the Sanford and Sons one? Because that's my husband's favorite.
me and my son actually do the Sanford.
They do the song.
Do you do the song,
Donald? Can you do a little bit for me?
We love it.
Well, there's the Sanford and Son theme, and then there's the Turk version.
Yeah,
when Carla won't leave him alone.
Do you remember it?
Quiet down now. It is time to watch the show. Yes, it started. Don't be licking me no more. Matter of fact, can I get a handy wipe? And then we come back from break after we sang it. Just you do like Sanford and Son. And you even did the Elizabeth. I'm coming.
Elizabeth?
Yeah.
I don't know. Elizabeth!
Yeah.
He used to die in almost every episode. He'd be like, this is the big one.
Yeah.
It's not a program we've had over here at all. So we had to Google obviously the credits to find out what the original song is.
Oh,
said.
Really?
Really?
I think I know what you guys are doing tonight. You're going to go on YouTube or wherever and start watching some Sanford and Son.
A Sanford and Son marathon sounds great right now, actually.
Well, nothing else to do, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's
listen, if you want to laugh, ain't nothing like Red Fox going at it. Oh my gosh. He's one of the, I mean, Red Fox is, he was, before Richard Pryor, before Eddie Murphy, it was red. You know what I mean? So
there really is a theme to this podcast episode of 80s sitcoms.
Yeah. Well, that's a 70s sitcom, I think.
I'm really proud of us that we developed a theme for this one.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for calling in all the way from Scotland, and keep drinking and stay safe.
Stay healthy.
You guys stay safe as well.
We want you to get drunk and watch Sanford and Son. You'll thank us.
Right, take care.
Bye, guys. Bye, bye.
Bye.
Oh, man. I couldn't get the Irish-Scottish thing right. That's
You never do, dude.
I'm going to get so much shit for that. I'm so upset about it.
You never do.
To all my people of Ireland and Scotland, I'm sorry. I one day I plan to get it right.
You took a picture, huh, Susan?
I'm sorry.
Susan took a picture.
Susan
right.
tried to sneak out the door by taking a picture. It's all right.
Don't worry about it.
I would have fixed my hair, Susan.
Don't worry about it.
I did not put any product into it.
Full click. Somebody.
No, it didn't click. We just heard it. We just heard it. But it's all right. Don't worry about it,
Susan.
You could post it on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is that you have.
It's all right. You just call it. So.
Just be like, look what show we were on. We love the press. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Later. I love having couples
on. They were like adorable.
They were so cute.
I want to be friends with them.
He totally jacked it. She was like, I'm going to be, I got in, I got it, I got it. And he was like,
well, they're sitting there in Scotland in quarantine. He's not going to be like, oh, I'll go in the other room. He's like, yeah, let me on that fucking Zoom call.
Yeah, you know.
He was like,
you know what we're doing at one. You know what we're doing at one.
Not at one. What time is it there? It's
I don't know. It's like 8 hour difference.
It's
so
8 hours, right, Joelle? Yeah.
It's 10 o'clock.
It's 10 right. o'clock.
You know we're doing at 10. You know we're doing at 10. I'm on that call.
Maybe it was a surprise. Maybe she didn't tell him. She's like, we're going to Zoom some old friends.
He was the calm. That was the calmest reaction.
Yeah. Well, she said they've been drinking all day.
That's true.
Like you. Are you drinking?
What is this? Is that orange juice.
That's a fucking mimosa. It's got to be. Or a screwdriver.
This is orange juice.
Is there any screw in that driver?
There is no screw, but there is tequila.
Motherfucker. I knew. What's that called? Orange juice tequila.
Tequila sunrise, right?
Tequila sunrise. Okay. I think it's such a fucked up thing at 1643 to say to someone, I don't dislike you. I nothing you.
Yeah. And like, that's a Krista. That's an actual Krista Miller saying.
It?
Yes.
I have no feelings for you. No, you don't understand. You so little affect me that I don't even have energy.
I don't even
have feelings of not liking you. I just
right.
nothing.
I just don't think about. I nothing you.
I don't even think about you.
I remember Krista being. Up. I remember Krista telling me, she's like, if you ever want to hurt someone,
she handed that.
Yeah,
off to
she
you.
Was like, this is how you do it. She's like, I've always thought this was the funniest way to do it. I don't dislike you. I nothing you.
I nothing you. So I don't. We don't advise you being that mean to anyone in your life. Here,
that's Cobra. Well,
Fake Doctor's Real Friends podcast, but
it's the television show. It's a great joke.
No, I'm just saying fucked up thing to say to someone.
Yeah,
remember we had a whole riff on like what's the worst thing that someone can ever say to you, and it was like, would you just please leave? Somehow we zoned in on like, what's the, like, if someone just looks at you and just says, would you just please leave?
That was
the most hurtful thing you could hear.
Horrible. Sean Hayes has a good one too, where, you know, where you're talking to someone and you don't want to talk to someone who's approaching, and they approach and you turn to them and go, you're going to have to give me a second. And you turn back to the person you were talking to.
Yeah. He had a lot of funny ones where you go, someone interrupt you. I'm sorry, I'm not used to being interrupted.
Right.
That's
Sean Hayes?
That was Sean Hayes, yeah.
I thought that was you, dude. Oh, you stole that one.
Oh, I stole that from Sean Hayes.
That's a good one.
He's coming up in an episode.
I can't wait.
Is that? That was season one, right?
It definitely was season one because it happened the same.
Oh, yeah, it was September 11th.
September 11th, yep.
The song that ends the show is A Good Life by Francis Dunnery. Yes.
Can I say something?
Please.
I've been bumping Good Life in my car for the past, and on my iPad or iPhone, whatever it is, wherever it is you listen to your music, wherever it is you listen to your music, I have been bumping Good Life for about 2 years now.
Mm.
And I thought I found some deep cut on not the best of playlist, but you know, like you know how they have the 80s now music and they have like the love song from the 80s or love songs from the coast or whatever it is. You know what I mean? I thought I found a deep cut and it was Good Life. And then when it came on today, I was like, this is where I know the song from.
Yeah, it's a great song. And like you, I think a lot of people found some good tunes on Scrubs. And just a reminder for those of you who don't know, on streaming platforms, we always have all the same songs that we reference on this podcast because of licensing deals. And these were all contracts that were signed before streaming existed. So it's really only on, if you buy it, iTunes or the DVDs. I'm not telling you to buy it. We don't care. But I'm just saying that some of the music might be different. So you might be listening to something that's not Francis Dunnery if you're streaming it, because some of the songs didn't have contracts that lasted till 2020.
Well, this was on Hulu that I heard this. So
that's the episode. What else we got
to
say?
I'm trying to think if I had anything else. How many times have they used the inside the mouth shot to somebody saying, say now, say ah?
I don't know. That was definitely one of the Mark Buckland trick shots. There's also a close-up shot of Jordan with the mirror. There's also the sideways shot of Sarah from the psychologist. A lot of kooky, fun Mark Buckland.
I thought that was
shots.
Really cool. I think like the only time that I'd ever seen that was like Little Shop of Horrors, when Steve Martin is looking in the person's mouth. He's like, say ah! Like, ah!
So to wrap up this episode, you wanted to go back to the very first shot.
The very first shot of the episode.
Start at the very beginning.
You love that reference.
I love you.
I love you too, man. I miss you, man. I really do. You know, I dream and hope that this will all be over soon, you know, and we can sit in a studio.
Wouldn't it be great to do this sitting across from each other?
Yeah.
And we could offer each other snacks.
Yeah. Maybe drink a Coca-Cola together.
You could offer me a tequila sunrise.
Or a Coca-Cola.
Although I'm not day drinking yet today. Although I probably will in a bit because the sun's out. It might be time for an ice cold beverage.
Yeah. You know, they say that during this pandemic quarantine, a lot of people are playing video games, drinking, smoking a lot of weed, and eating.
I love that marijuana in the at least Los Angeles has been considered an essential service. Of course, I respect that some people do use it for medicine, and it is required to help them. But for Donald and I, who don't always use it for medical purposes, we occasionally find ourselves using it for recreational services. I do appreciate that the weed stores are all open.
Yeah, you know, it definitely calms the spirit.
Yeah. You know what? When you need to take a little bit of anxiety edge off.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We're not endorsing it, but if anybody out there has a weed company and wants to sponsor our show, we'd be more than happy to first try your product.
Right.
This drug deal's gone down on Zoom.
I don't know if there's any. I don't know if there's any weed distributors advertising on podcasts, but we'll soon find out, won't we? Donald's address is 327.
Dude, enough! Enough.
Okay, sorry. It's 328. Hey, fans, we love you. If you're a health worker on the front lines, thank you so much for everything you're doing and for your courage, whether you're a nurse or a doctor or a janitor or a medic or a cop or a fireman. We are grateful to you for being so brave during this time.
Yes, we are absolutely very grateful to all of the people that work in the grocery stores and put themselves in the virus's way by putting out food and helping people at the grocery stores. We thank you as well. You guys are all heroes to us. And thank you so, 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 so much for your service.
Yes, thank you so much. And to the brave souls manning all the pot shops in Los Angeles, thank you. Donald, count us in.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Some stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a